Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on NashvilleCR.com. Our subject today, why dads and sons should join fraternities. To help us understand what's so special about fraternities, I've invited Ken Spisak and Thomas Fraser, both men who are involved at the St. Edward's Fraternities Organization, to be our guests. I'll introduce them in a moment, but first my monologue. It is said that the largest religious group in America is ex-Catholics. Why in the world should that be? But according to a poll, the percentage of Catholics in the United States dropped from 23.9% in 2007 to 20.8% in 2014. But there are still roughly 51 million Catholic adults in the states, spread over 17,000 parishes. But it's not just a Catholic problem. According to the poll, Protestants have decreased from 51% to 46% of Americans. The only group who have increased their numbers are those who identify as atheists, agnostics, or nothing in particular. They have grown more than 6 points from 16 to 22.8% of the population. While most religious groups are aging, the unaffiliated, non-religious are getting younger. Large numbers of kids are leaving churches of all denominations in high school and college, and those who stay do not have much knowledge of their faith. More than half of U.S. Catholics said abortion should be legal in most cases, or roughly 4 in 10, 40%, said it should be illegal. In 2018, among those aged 21 to 29, 36% of Protestants, 25% of Catholics went to church on a weekly basis. And from 2014 to 2017, an average of 40% of Catholics reported attending church in the past 7 days, down from 45% in the years before. This represents a steep decline from 75% in 1955. Unchecked, the exodus of Catholic men from faith is likely to continue as men are becoming increasingly casual about Catholicism. About 11 million men in the United States were raised Catholic but left the faith, and men are underrepresented in the church. Less than half of Catholic men feel that religion is very important in their lives. This compares to 74% of evangelical men, and only about 4 in 10 Catholics have an absolute certain belief in a personal God. This compares to 73% of evangelicals. And less than half of Catholic men pray outside of worship services, which compares to 71% of evangelicals. Clearly, there is a passion problem among Catholic men. For these and many other reasons, Jason Craig, Justin Beyonce, and Thomas Van Horn founded fraternities. Justin is a Catholic convert with a degree in theology. He applied his knowledge and experience of youth ministry at a Catholic parish where he realized that it was the families, especially fathers, that had the greatest impact on their boys. He wrote and developed the training and curriculum manual used today around the country in fraternities. Now, Jason has a master's in theology and evangelization from the Augustine Institute and continues his work on a small farm in rural North Carolina. He credits his dad for his success, saying, "My dad took me in at a critical age and showed me that fathers love and protect their sons. Later, it made sense to me that God would send his son to save me. Dads do that for their sons, you know." The philosophy of fraternity reads in part, "The youth of today needs fathers. They need men who will step into their lives and lead them to the truth we all long for." Fraternity deals with the root issues fatherlessness. Fraternus equips and inspires men to do what only they can do, be spiritual fathers and mentors to the boys in their lives. Fraternus programming, training, and support take a man who is willing, faithful, and Catholic, and form into a true mentor, which in turn causes an entire transformation in a family, community, and the culture. To help us understand this important work and how it is accomplished, I have the two men from St. Edward's Group to be our guests. Ken Spisak was born in East Chicago, Indiana in 1968. Years later, he and his family of 11 kids moved with their parents to Oak Ridge, Tennessee. He attended St. Mary's grade school and graduated from Oak Ridge High School and attended Rowan State Community College and began a career in HVAC soon after graduation. He started his own business, specializing in custom sheet metalwork and extended into mechanical and plumbing trades. He currently has 10 employees. 22 years ago, he married a Nashville native with two children. Since then, they have had two children, now age 18 and 21. They worship at St. Edward's Parish, where they are Eucharistic ministers and active in other parish activities. Once in Fraternus, he quickly learned how important this program is for developing virtuous young Catholic men. Young men today need mentors, and Fraternus provides them in a truly Catholic way. Tom Frazier was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. He graduated from Vanderbilt University with a bachelor's in biology and has a 40-plus year history as a licensed and board-certified cardiopulmonary perfusionist in open-heart surgery. 12 years at Vanderbilt and 28 years at St. Thomas, and is now working as a per diem perfusionist part-time. He is a past president of the American Academy of Cardiovascular Perfusion in 2010. Jackie, his wife of 18 years, is a curriculum consultant with McGraw Book Publishing Company. They attend Cathedral of the Incarnation, both are lecturers. He is an extraordinary Eucharistic minister, an active Third Degree Knight of Columbus, and active in the men of St. Joseph's School. Tom was recognized as the Tennessee Big Brother of the Year in 2013 by the Big Brothers and Sisters of Middle Tennessee. What an honor it is to have you, both of you, on our show. Welcome, Tom and Ken, to Parenting Matters on WVOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on NashvilleCR.com.
Thank you, Dr. Barr.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. My son, Brian, is a pediatric cardiac anesthesiologist at Vanderbilt. I don't think you were there when he started, but you're in the same field. And he always speaks so well about the perfusionists and how important they are in the work of cardiac transplant. What exactly does a perfusionist do? Can you tell us briefly about what perfusing is?
Yeah, perfusionist is the person in the operating room who runs the heart-lung bypass machine in open-heart surgery. So we have an anesthesiologist who puts you to sleep, a surgeon who opens your chest, and then you have a perfusionist who keeps your blood flowing while they operate and basically keeps you alive for 5 or 6 hours at a time.
Like I said, very important.
Yeah, it is.
I can't think of a more stressful job. Thank you for what you do. It is important. Ken, you said in your bio that once in Fraternus, you quickly learned how important this program is for developing virtuous young men. Then added a side benefit was developing in yourself the seven virtues. How can you or any other man develop virtue in young men?
Dr. Barr, thanks again. And I appreciate that monologue. And that really opened my eyes to how bad the problem is. But when I joined Fraternus, I had a son who was in Catholic schools, but, you know, it just seemed like the education he got compared to my daughter was much more of a feminine type education in the Catholic schools now. And when I met Tom and he introduced me to Fraternus, I knew right away that that was a manly way to instill in these young men virtue. But through the program that Jason Craig and those men in Fraternus have developed, I learned real quick that I could only pass on what I possessed myself. So growing in virtue, being able to mentor or lead young men in virtue was going to require myself to grow in virtue. So that opened my eyes that the whole premise of fraternus is based on men passing down to boys what they've acquired. And that seems to be the only way that we're going to grow virtuous young men.
I think you're right in a very important way. I've been very excited about fraternity ever since I heard about it. One of my grandsons was involved, I think he was in sixth grade, but he was unable to continue past that year. Tom, what can you say about fraternity? But what turns you on about it?
For me, fraternus is an opportunity, first of all, to give back. You know, these young men come to us, and I'll be honest with you, they watch us intently. I didn't know that at first, but someone pointed that out to me one night, and I said, oh, yeah, you're right. So the example that we set really carries weight. So as I began to learn that, I noticed the boys really do watch us. They want to do what we do. And if we pray, they want to pray. So we don't tell the boys to pray. We pray, and you start looking around, and they're praying too. You know, that's what I like about fraternus is it's not, we're not telling them to do anything. We're just doing it, and then they want to be like us. And that goes a long way. And when you play games with them, then you earn the right to be heard. And then in your squad times together with the young men, they pay attention to what you say, more so than they would even their own parents, I've been told. So, yeah, it's very gratifying to me.
Well, good. How often do you meet?
We meet once a week, one night a week.
And how long are your meetings?
2 hours, usually from 6 to 8 o'clock.
How many fathers are involved with the kids?
Well, you know, on a given night, there might be 4 or 5 dads there. Other nights, there might be 6 or 7. We're trying to get the dads more involved. We openly invite them each week. Most of the time, the parents will just drop the boys off and drive away and come back 2 hours later and pick them up. But we try to invite the dads. Some of the dads have picked up the ball and run with it and have been great, what we call captains in the chapter. And they come to the meetings and help run the meetings and help, you know, supervise. And then when we have excursions, we'll get some of the dads involved, and they will actually come on the excursions with their boys and spend an overnight with us. Yeah, it's an ongoing effort, but I'll just say this, fraternus is for the boys, but it's just as much for the men as it is for the boys. Like Ken said, we can't give what we don't have. So,
Ken, would you tell us a little bit about what is a typical meeting like? How are those 2 hours spent?
I
see you all sitting around training Rosie for 2 hours. I don't think that would do it.
No, that's not, Dr. Barr. You're exactly right. Young men are, I don't want to say like puppy dogs, but we've got to do a little roughhousing with them first. A little comp time starts the evening. So dodgeball, kickball, football, something to get the competitive juices going in these young men, because we feel that that is important, that as men, we strive to be the best. We strive to be the best on the field. We strive to be the best in church, in our prayer lives. So we always start with competition some type where the whole group, young men and captains, all come together and participate. We'll have dinner together on a given night. We have pizza most of the time. We say the blessing, share the meal together, and then we move into a movie clip that's a short, usually action-packed or compelling clip from old movies, new movies, that kind of starts our conversation about the virtue that we're working on that evening. We'll have a King's Message, which is basically an overlay of how we're going to focus our group time together. That's either given by a captain or a senior brother, which would be one of the high school young men who are in fraternus. By the time we split up into groups, the boys are usually very engaged. And I have to say, I'm amazed at the knowledge about virtue and about Catholicism that these young men have. These parents, most of these parents involved or bringing their kids, have done an exceptional job. And I learned every frat night, I learn something about the faith or about prayer life or about virtue for these young men. I feel like I pass on what I know and they pass on to us what they know. So that's a typical frat night right there. It's 2 hours that are pretty much packed full of prayer, fun, food, and a challenge at the end of the night that these boys go home and they make a difference in their families or in their parishes.
How many people stay year after year? How many drop out of the boys?
I would say that once they're in, they're pretty consistent. You know, we have, once they hit high school, sometimes you'll see some young men fade off. Our biggest competition is sports. If a young man is playing football or baseball, that sometimes can conflict with fraternities, but we try to accommodate young man. If he can only make it once a month, they're always welcome. If it's just once every 2 months, that's fine. Or every night, we are always there. It's a brotherhood. That's what we're trying to build at Fraternus. These young men and these older captains, we're all brothers together in our faith. So it's always open. You miss a meeting, come back the next. Get here when you can. That's our philosophy.
Do you have any older boys who graduate high school and come back now and then just for old time's sake?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tom can speak to that well because he's known so many of these young men who've gone on to seminary or gone on to just have beautiful lives. Tom?
Yeah, we've got several young men that have stayed with us. They've gone off to college or they've started a professional career, and they'll come back and function as captains for us. Like Ken said, several of our young men have actually gone on to the seminary and become ordained priests. And there's nothing more gratifying than to have one of your former fraternus brothers who you knew when he was a sophomore in high school, who is now saying mass for you.
Isn't that exciting?
Hearing your confession.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the most gratifying experiences of my life right there. So, yeah.
Now, is there any charge for the boys? Does this cost anything for the family? Or how do you deal with that?
Well, right now, there's, for the whole year, $37.50 is the registration fee. So, Fraternus has to, they put out a multitude of resources for us to use. The national support is vitally important, and sticking to the program is vitally important.
So you don't charge them every night for their dinner?
We, of course, we accept any donations. A lot of parents will just donate money for dinner, but families with two or three boys, you know, they may not be able to afford it. Well, that's okay. There's plenty of men who are stepping up to make sure that our program is viable and stays being able to meet. So the minimum $37 to register with the National Fraternus account. But, you know, the parents are always willing to pitch in and help with the expenses.
I would think so. Now, does a boy have to have a dad? I would think that not having a dad would be an important place for the boys to be. Do you have any non-dad boys?
Right now, we have in the past for sure. We've had several come through in Fraternus, and those would be the boys we would want to reach the most, you know, or even the boys whose fathers are maybe not around enough or are not spiritually comfortable talking with their young, with their sons. But a young man who is in a, bless her heart, a single mom's household would absolutely benefit and be welcome as a brother in Fraternus. And we would encourage anybody in that similar situation or a grandparent who knows that situation to please look at getting these young men into Fraternus.
Sounds like a really good operation. But how many boys do you have in your group at a time? I mean, 50, 25, 100, John, Tom?
Well, I think on a given night, we'll have 25 boys. Some nights we'll have 18, and other nights we'll have 35. We don't usually get up to 50 But typically we'll have, you know, around, I'd say an average of 25 young men per week that will come to the meetings, you know. I'll say this one thing. I just want to mention this one quote that our regional sage, his name is Danny Snyder, up in from Our Lady of the Lake up in Hendersonville, said one day. He said, you know, if only one boy shows up to the meeting, it's still time well spent for us. It's not about the numbers. You know, it's about the mission. And when you can spread that mission to just even a few boys, it spreads. The ripple effect is huge. So we're not really concerned about packing the house. You know, we've got regular boys that come in, and I can tell you, the seed is planted and it's growing in a lot of these young men.
What age boys do you serve?
11 to 18. Is that right, Ken?
Yes, fifth through 12th would be is the ages we like to get in there. As a fraternist brother, once the young men graduate high school, some will continue to work as a captain. So, but school age, we started through 12th grade.
Cool. One of the things that we see, like with the scouts, there's been so much trouble with the sex predators playing in those groups. How do you monitor that? You know, Bishop Toby set up some pretty good guidelines. Do they apply to your group too?
Absolutely. We are all go through the diocese safe environment background checks and renew that every year. That is foremost concern is following the guidelines set forth by the diocese.
How many parishes have fraternists? Do you know, Tom?
Well, let's see. There's, help me out here, Ken. There's one in Hendersonville. There's one at St. Edwards. There's one at Lady of Hope.
Yeah, locally,
Nativity. Nativity.
And St. Rose.
And St. Rose. So that's four.
Nationally, I'm not sure. I know we're fraternists, I believe, in 11 states now across the country, from Washington State to New York State to Florida. So it's a movement that's growing, I'll say. It's still young, and it's going to be much more commonplace as people hopefully will return back to church after the COVID.
Yeah, and yes. on a national level too, we have a week long summer camp every June or July, and we usually get about 300 boys that come to that, and they come from all over the country.
Okay, well, I have just one last question. We're running low on time, but if a man wanted to start a fraternity in his parish, how would he go about doing that?
He would go to his pastor first thing. The pastor of your church, of any parish, is the key. You have to have a priest who is behind fraternities. Father Bolsa at St. Edward's has been a great supporter of fraternities. So any man, and I would challenge any man listening to go to his pastor and ask him about fraternities, because it's a blessing that will come to that parish. But that would be the first step, would be to go to your pastor. Tom?
I'll add to that. The second step would be to go to a fraternity meeting and put yourself at the service of the captains there and just ask them to let you experience a meeting and let them show you what a meeting looks like. And it's not hard. It's pretty simple. But there are certain protocols that you have to follow. Like no negative humor and that sort of thing.
Tom, I have to cut you off. We're running totally out of time. It's been a great pleasure having both of you on the show and learning more about this. It's an organization which needs to grow. Thank you for attending, and thank you, too, to our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. Before I sign off, one quick story. When my grandson was in sixth grade and a member of the fraternity, he came home very excited one evening. "What did you do today?" I asked. He said, "Well, we got to go to confession." He announced with enthusiasm, and I thought, "Wait, you got to go to confession?" He said, "Oh, yes." It was very exciting. And he told me about it. He said, we put a ladder up to the second story of the building, went outside, and then we had to climb up the ladder. And then the priest sat in the other side of the window. He had opened the window, and we went to confession through the window. So some of the boys were scared at first, but before the end was over, everybody had gone to confession. And he said, it wasn't really frightening. We learned that it's not you never have to be afraid to go to confession. And it was actually, he said, uplifting. I think he borrowed that pun, but it was uplifting. He only spent a year in Fraternitas, but he really learned a lot during that year. And I wish you could see him now. What a joy it is to have him as one of my 9 grandsons, all of them my favorites. Now for your homework, get your family together and go to my website, parenting-matters.com, and listen to this Fraternitas show again. And have a discussion about how dad, sons, nephews, uncles, anyone can get involved in the holy work of evangelizing ourselves through Fraternitas. Then return to my website and tell us how you will contribute and make it happen. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you and your families.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.